Welcome to the Motion Show. Hello, I'm Phil Hammond, and this is the competitive debating game where the winner gets the chance to be smug and self-satisfied whilst achieving absolutely nothing. So, just like Prime Minister's questions. So, let me please introduce tonight's speakers, Tony Hawk, Simon Fanshawe, Steve Punt, and Arthur Smith. But before we get on to the main debates, I want to ask our speakers for their fantasy motions. If you could propose any motion in the world, anything at all, what would it be? Simon, what's been ringing your bell this week?
This house would abolish Luton.
Thank you. Mr. Punt, what would you lie back and dream about?
This house would ban all mobile phone rings based on the popular classics.
Arthur, in a perfect world, a world without Lycra, what would your dream motion be?
I believe that when you go to the cinema and you want a bag of Maltesers and then they sell you one that's enormous, it's too big to eat. And so you can't possibly eat ill, but you do, and then you're sick. And I think they should ban those big bags of Maltesers.
Tony, what's been tickling your synapse this week?
Well, I think this house would like to see a TV consumer program that showed absolutely no sympathy at all for people that wrote in. And it's called Tough Tits, You Bought It.
Without further ado, our first motion, This House Hates to Cook. Steve Punt, would you take your ready-to-eat speech out of the microwave and propose the motion, This House Hates to Cook?
Thank you, Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, I put it to you that not cooking for yourself is not only good for the economy, but it is encouraging a more individual and a more characterful nation. Firstly, there are sound economic reasons. Hundreds of thousands of jobs depend on the catering and the prepackaged food industries. And many of these jobs are very special jobs because they're jobs for people who would otherwise be unemployable. Pizza delivery is a very obvious example here. Where else?
Just a point, Mr. Chairman. There are many members of the Tory cabinet who have difficulty with the phrase, would you like fries with that?
Mr. Chairman, I would contend that pizza delivery provides a very valuable service, providing jobs for young people who are unable to either count change or ride a moped. Then there is, of course, McDonald's. Not only a major employer, but remember there are many people in this country who greatly regret the passing of national service and of the sort of discipline that instilled in our young people. But you can still see that discipline in action in any fast food outlet. You have the raw recruits there behind the screen, suffering miserably. Out the front, you have someone who is barely 6 months older, but has been invested with authority. A pimply fascist, ladies and gentlemen. Strutting up and down, shouting, come on, still waiting for two fillet of fish and one nuggets. Wherever you go, even if you go more upmarket, professional cookery, however you look at it, is a place where you can still find those old-fashioned values of discipline and order, unlike in feeble, touchy-feely Blair Britain. In catering, foul-mouthed egomaniac bullies are celebrated and indeed rewarded. Gordon Ramsay, Marco Pierre White. If these men were school teachers, they'd be in the European Court of Human Rights, ladies and gentlemen. But they're not. They're millionaires. They've got backbone. And what's more, they know how to cook it in its own juice. Professional cookery is one of the few areas where political correctness has not done its evil work. There are still characters left. There's still a bit of rock and roll attitude. Most modern pop stars are floppy-haired dullards who go to dance classes and save themselves for marriage. Thank God for Keith Floyd. Thank God for the late Jennifer Patterson. Thank God for men like Hugh Fearnley Whittingstall, ladies and gentlemen.
Point of information.
Yes.
He seems to be turning into Alan Wicker.
And lastly, but perhaps the best reason why you should never consider cooking at home, there is one other very important reason. It's difficult. It's very tricky, cooking. First of all, very messy. There's a strange law with cooking whereby you need 30 minutes cleaning up time for every 10 minutes of cooking time. If you can't stand the heat, phone out for a curry. I urge you to support the motion.
Thank you very much. Steve Punn. They say that too many cooks spoil the broth, in which case there must be loads of them in the cuppa soup factory. Tony Hawks, you're next up, so please pick up your seasoning and celeriac and oppose the motion. This house hates to cook.
Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, cookery at home is the new rock and roll. Cooking
is better than sex, with the added advantage that if you do it on your own, you don't have to feel guilty. If we don't cook, what do? We have to look at the alternatives, and they are, as Mr. Punt has ably demonstrated, they are indeed takeaway food. Food which never, ever resembles the pictures of it that they have behind the camera. Food which is thrown together with no love. Food, if I can continue the sex analogy, which is the equivalent of an unsatisfactory quick one behind the bike sheds.
May I say, point of information?
Yes, Mrs. Smith.
A quick one behind the bike sheds is actually extremely agreeable. As I believe Mr. Hawkes knows.
Mr. Smith, it may be agreeable to you, but it has never been agreeable to any of the recipients of your...
Moving on, Mr.
Well, Mr. Chairman, furthermore, I put it to you that some of these takeaway outlets, they don't really know what they're talking about, particularly in their advertising campaigns. For instance, McDonald's had the slogan, "There's nothing quite like a McDonald's." Well, Burger King, that's quite like a McDonald's. The other alternative, of course, to takeaway food is dining out. And there is a story which illustrates the danger of this activity. There is a waiter in a restaurant taking his soup to a man at the table, and he has his thumb in the soup. And the customer says, "You do realize you've got your thumb in the soup?" And the waiter says, "Yes, I'm keeping it warm." And the irate customer says, "Well, you may as well just shove it down your trousers." And he says, "Well, I do when I'm in the kitchen." And this, ladies and gentlemen, may not be that funny a joke. But it is an example of what can happen when you're in a restaurant. You simply do not know what is happening in that kitchen. At least
I was just going to support you because as much as I do like going out, Tony, to restaurants, the thing that really... There are two particular things that bug me about waiters. Number one is waiters who come up and say, "Would you like to see a menu?" "No, I'll just guess."
Well, exactly my point. At least you know if you're cooking at home... that it's your own hand down your own trousers. Eating out does encourage this kind of food snobbery. I think it's true that Marco Pierre White once threw somebody out of his restaurant because they ordered chips. Absolutely true. He wouldn't have it. So they come up with all these poncy names for things. I was in a restaurant once, and it was on the menu, sun-dried tomatoes drizzled with Tuscan olive oil on a bed of peppers and ciabatta. And they brought me pizza. And without home cooking, we would be denied all these wonderful TV programs. Most of TV now is made up of either cookery programs, programs about pets, or home improvement. Now, surely it's only a question of time before we get a program which combines all three, in which they convert your bedroom into a kitchen and cook your pets. That's a program I want to watch. There is another joke to go with the one I did earlier.
Please be brief.
It's wholly xenophobic and quite unfairly anti-Australian. But
in that case, take your time.
The joke goes, what is an Australian's idea of foreplay? Kicking the cans off the bed. And I put it to you, ladies and gentlemen, that foreplay is really cooking. Basically, you will only enjoy a meal if there's been some tantalizing preparation before leading up to it. Obviously, I would never do foreplay myself. I have someone that comes in and does it for me. Finally, if none of us cooked at home, how would Delia Smith manage financially? I rest my case. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Tony Hawk.
A recent survey found that 23% of men don't know how to cook, and they all work in Harvester's restaurants. Arthur, where do you stand on the Whopper Wimpy debate?
Well, you know, I think too many cooks make programmes on BBC Two. It's that bad. I don't know why people do cooking. Anyway, you know, people say, "Oh, lovely, look at that, you must give me the recipe." You don't go to the pub and have a beer. I think that's a nice beer. I must open a brewery.
Of course, cooking is much more palatable if you do it to music, and KTEL have kindly released the best curry album in the world ever. Tracks include Poppadom Preach, Danzak Queen,
oh,
Take a Chance on Me, Tears on My Pillow, and Girlfriend in a Korma. Actually, a mate of mine hates cooking, but he loves making ice cream. And I went to see him the other day, and he was lying on the floor, head covered in chocolate with a sprinkling of nuts. And I thought, oh, my God, he's topped himself. As usual, it's been a closely fought round, so we'll use our precise audience poll system, or PAP for short. All those in favour of the motion, "This House hates to cook," say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay!
Nay!
I have to say, a resounding victory for Tony Hawk. On to our next motion. This house would marry into royalty. Mr. Simon Fanshawe, without a hint of irony, please... please come to the lectern and propose the motion. This house would marry into royalty.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Chairman, this house would marry into royalty. Obviously, I would like to marry into royalty because I'd like to marry a queen. I just thought I'd get that joke out of the way. I would like to marry into royalty mainly because if you marry into royalty, you don't have to stay married for very long. I would like to join Diana, Fergie, Sophie, and the other young women rendered charismatic by marriage. I want to marry royalty because I want to wear gloves when I shake hands with common people. I'd like to marry royalty because I want to be German. I'd like to marry royalty that is royalty because I don't want to spend the rest of my life kissing frogs. Although, to be perfectly frank, I've actually got to the stage in my life where if a frog comes up to me and says, if you kiss me, I'll turn into a handsome prince, I think, oh, sod it, I'd rather have a talking frog. But I want to marry into royalty because, like Prince Philip, I want my electrics done by an Indian. Now, I want to marry into royalty because my name is only Simon Hugh Dalrymple Fanshawe, of which I'm inordinately proud, I might say, despite the fact that you will titter now.
Point of information.
Oh, sorry, Tony.
If I may. He's putting forward a very good case for himself marrying into royalty, but this house would marry into
Have
royalty.
You never heard Descartes? I am, therefore I am a house. Have you never heard that? I am a house, Tony. That's the point.
I want you to be a
We've
little...
We've been friends for many, many years. You often thought I was a bungalow, but no, I'm a house.
I'm sorry.
I'm not an apartment block. I'm not even a condominium. I'm a house. Now, I want a proper name. That's my point. Am I going to be posh? I want a proper name. I want to be called the Prince Hugh Dalrymple, George Arthur, Louis Charles, Edward, Andrew, Simon, Peter, Paul and Mary, Countess von Thurman, Taxi, Hackney, Cab, Fan Club, Fanshawe. That's fine. And finally, I want a dishwasher that's human. Ladies and gentlemen, this house should marry into royalty. I beg you to support the motion.
Thank you, Simon Fanshawe. Edward VIII gave up the throne to marry a woman called Wallace, and by an incredible coincidence, Prince Charles is now courting a woman who looks like Gromit. Arthur Smith, it's now your turn to reject the idea that we should all dive headlong into the royal gene pool. I call on you to oppose the motion this house would marry into royalty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, Your Majesty, etc. Clearly, actually, Simon's speech was really, wasn't this house would marry into royalty. In his case, clearly, royalty just wouldn't want to marry you, Simon. I'm going to be horrible. Now, when I talk about the royal family, I knew I was going to have to make a speech about them earlier on today, and I went to Marks and Spencer's and I bought 25 pairs of pants. I am wearing all of those pants now. The reason is that the royal family bore the pants off me. But having said that, I have some experience on this because I went on a couple of dates once with Princess Anne. I met her at the Horse of the Year show, of which she was a regular winner. Anyway, the first date, I planned this classy, intimate dinner at the Delphi, Balham's premier Greek restaurant. There we were, candles, a lacy tablecloth, me and Princess Anne, her detective, three members of the paparazzi, and four of my friends sniggering at a neighbouring table. We had quite a nice time, and we had a bit of a snog, and she got the last tube. My point is...
Of what?
My point is, it's okay to go out with a member of the royal family, but you shouldn't marry one. I mean, for one thing, marriage is an institution. Who wants to be part of an institution? My wife and I, 25 happy years, and then we met each other. Tommy Trinder, 1957. In the end, there's no argument. Who the bloody hell will want to marry a member of the royal family unless you're some ghastly upper-class idiot who has no life?
Excuse me.
Therefore, I put it to you. I take it back and I put it to you again. Never marry someone in the royal family, I thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Steve, you've been scribbling furiously. You must have some interesting ideas about whether we should marry into the royal family.
I'm writing my next speech, Mr. Chairman. Good. But, no, I would love to be invited to a royal wedding. I am very, very proud and very fascinated by the news, which is carried by all the tabloids, so it must be true, that apparently there's a very real possibility that Prince William may marry Britney Spears. And apparently she's fascinated by the idea of becoming, quote, a real-life princess, unquote, copyright the tabloids. And I can't wait, because mainly because I'm very excited by the prospect that bidding for the photos of that wedding may actually bankrupt OK magazine.
Time to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour of the motion this House would marry into royalty, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay.
Nay.
The most persuasive speaker was Simon Fanshawe. Our next motion is this House believes its elders know better. Steve Punt, if you could shuffle to the lectern and argue that older is wiser.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, young people think they know everything, but they have no experience of anything. The old, on the other hand, have the experience that brings wisdom. Sadly, though, they can't remember it. But the old do have it, apparently. A society that has no respect for its elders, ladies and gentlemen, is a society which has lost its social cohesion, lost its sense of identity, and totally lost its chance of being able to phone a friend to find out stuff about who won an Oscar in 1938. Also, age is a necessary precondition for enjoying youth. Because, let's face it, much of what is enjoyable about being young is merely the knowledge that you are not old.
Point of information.
Yes, Mr. Hawkes.
Mr. Punt needs to get out more.
Accept it. Please, Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Hawkes should get out, turn the news agents, and read about Viagra, which I think will torpedo his own argument into the tatters which wouldn't occur from a torpedo. But shards, perhaps. Shards of some aquatic craft from? Which might be hit by a torpedo. We are, of course, in modern society, obsessed with youth. And yet, in our youth, most of us spend most of our time wishing we were older. Irony, ladies and gentlemen. We wish this to the point of constant mendacity. How many 16-year-olds go into pubs and say, a pint of orange juice, please. It's another 2 years until I can purchase alcohol on licensed premises. How many 13-year-olds try to sneak into 15 films by saying, I am 13, but surely in the context of a society with satellite TV and freely available videos, not allowing me in is an essentially pointless piece of arbitrary bureaucracy. Not many, ladies and gentlemen. I put it to you. Most of them prefer the time-honoured technique of standing on tiptoe going, one adult, please, for Psycho Death Killer. Screen two. Clearly, the aim of every youngster is to be old, and to claim otherwise is foolish. In the 60s, when he was young and blinded by the myopic arrogance of youth, Mr. Roger Daltrey, ladies and gentlemen, wrote the line, I hope I die before I get old. How much more appropriate had he written, I hope I invest my royalties wisely and go into trout farming before I get old. Very few of the people who make these sort of comments ever seem to do very much about them. Ladies and gentlemen, one's elders do deserve respect, if only because the only alternative is to give respect to such beacons of wisdom, taste and dignity as Chris Evans. Gail, here's my bottom porter. David, kick a foreigner Beckham. Any member of Westlife, or Charlotte Church, the Ruth Lawrence of singing. You can honestly say that these people deserve our respect more than Lord Hailsham, the Queen Mother, or Cliff Richard. I urge you to support the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Steve Punn. By the year 2030, apparently half the British population will be drawing a pension. So if you need anything from the post office, I go now. Actually, not right now, you can stay until the end of the show. The young Tony Hawkes. I call on you now to oppose the motion. This House believes that its elders know better.
Well, the young Tony Hawkes? What's this one who's coming to the podium then?
I thank you, Mr. Smith, to allow me to begin before you heckle. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to begin my argument by quoting Harold Macmillan, who wrote, it has been said that there is no fool like an old fool, except a young fool. But the young fool has yet to grow up to be an old fool to realise what a damn fool he was when he was a young fool. Clearly, the ramblings of an old fool. I have absolutely no idea whether he was agreeing or disagreeing with my argument that I'm going to put. But the point is, surely everyone is a fool, regardless of age, and therefore, as a result of that, I hold the view that our elders do not know better. Probably they know more, but not better. The problem is, for the most part, that age brings conservatism. The youth is the idealist. He holds genuinely radical and revolutionary views, which he immediately abandons as soon as he gets a mortgage. The other thing that tends to happen to elders, and obviously not to every elder, but as people get older, they tend to become parents. And with parenthood comes insanity. We have all heard parents at some point saying to their children, "Look, I won't tell you again." And then they just tell the children again. Parents, for instance, will insist, mothers particularly, insist on giving their children, however old they are, they insist on giving them sandwiches. They at least try to. My mother certainly does. She stays with me. She says, "What are you doing today, Tony?" I say, "I've got a meeting at the BBC. She says, "You'll need sandwiches." There are times when getting out a little Tupperware box and a club biscuit is not a social advantage. Old people go into too much detail. Sometimes you're invited back to meet the parents of a new partner in your life, and they will tell an anecdote, the parents, and they will say, they will begin this story, a perfectly good story, and then they'll go suddenly, "Or was it a Friday?" And the discussion will begin, whether it happened on the Friday evening or the Saturday morning. The parents will argue about it, and you want to go, "Look, just shut up, I'm not interested in the story anyway, give me the food." Our elders also tend to look backwards rather than forwards. Everything was so much better in the old days, wasn't it? Regardless of the fact that it clearly wasn't. You hear them say things like, "Things were much better when I was a lad, before they had any cures for diseases, before any of us could afford to fly abroad and enjoy wonderful holidays." And they go on with this nonsense. We are all getting older. We are all someone else's elder. And what do we know? This house is here in central London in freezing bloody January. If we knew better, we'd be in the Bahamas somewhere. And I just want to finish, if I may, by drawing attention to Mr. Punt's comment about Roger Daltrey, who I believe he said wrote the words, "I hope I die before I get old." Is that right, Mr. Punt?
I did say that. I have a feeling I'm about to be told that he didn't write that.
No, I think Pete Townsend wrote them.
Pete Townsend is about the same age as Roger Daltrey.
Exactly, but he has no trout farm. The point is, surely, why did he say that?
He doesn't brag about it. He's very private in his trout farm.
He does have a trout farm. My final argument, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm convinced that my elders do not know better. After all, Mr. Arthur Smith is older than me. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And as a doctor, may I say how brave it was of you to tell us about your little club biscuit. Today's 14-year-olds know far more about sex than we ever did, and so do their children. But the extraordinary thing was that you were wrong, I think, actually, Steve, to say that old people forget. It's amazing, actually, that you keep your long-term memory, but you lose your short-term. So if you want to know what happened yesterday, ask me in 30 years' time.
I'll tell you what, the thing that annoys me about young people is that I'm not one of them. But I am actually, I'm strongly in favour of being ambivalent about this notion. Because, old people, one of the things that annoys me a little bit about old people is they're inclined to tell you how old they are quite often. I'm 82, And I had an unfortunate incident involving this remark. Recently, last summer I was in a laundrette and the woman came up to me and said, 82 today, And I said, "Oh, well done, you don't look a day over 75. She said, "No, it's 82 degrees today." "I'm 62.
A famous friend of mine, went to an old people's home and did a bit of opening and whatnot. And at the end, he realised that these people had no idea who he was. And he went up to one of the old ladies and he said, "Do you know who I am?" And she looked him straight in the face. She said, "No," she said, "but I'm sure if you ask Matron, she'll be able to tell you."
Barry Pryor, 1973. My granddad, before he died, he used to, in common with all very, very old people, get up at about 4:30 in the morning. And I said to him once, I said, "What do you do 4:30? He said, "Well, he said, you have a cup of tea and a piece of toast, and before you know, it's 5:30.
Time for the vote. All those in favour of the motion, this House believes its elders know better, say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay.
Nay.
A resounding victory for Tony Hawks. It's not over yet. It's time for some fun-sized debates. Speakers, you can give only one line for and against these motions. If you get a laugh, you get a point. If you don't, it's all a bit embarrassing, but we can edit it out. First up, this House believes you shouldn't live in the past.
Well, this is typical. You'd never have got a motion like this in the old days.
Well, I live each day as if it's my last, and that's why I've got my pyjamas on and I'm in a coma.
It is, in fact, great fun to live in the past because the beer is cheaper.
Well, this house shouldn't live in the past or in Wales, which is the same thing. Oh, suddenly you've all turned Welsh, have you? Oh, suddenly you've all lived in Luton before and now you're all Welsh, are you? Oh, fine, bring in the sheep, that's what I say.
This house believes that if one door closes, another one will open.
Well, that's why this house is such a drafty place.
Yes, one door closes and another one will open. Well, not if you're a Jehovah's Witness, I think.
This house believes that one door closes, another will open if you own a clown car.
If one window closes, then you've got a lot longer wait at the post office.
This house would like to be happy,
but blew it by watching EastEnders.
Thank you. Mercifully, we've reached the end of the show, and it's time to declare the winner. We're using a special BBC formula, originally developed in Burma. And I can declare tonight's winner is Tony Hawks! Thanks also to our very worthy losers for taking part and to our studio audience for using their votes with such tact and discretion. And finally, just to prove that elders really do know better, I saw a couple the other day in their 90s who'd been married for 70 years and came to see me saying they were getting divorced. I said, don't be ridiculous, why do you want to get divorced now? And they said, well, we've been thinking about it for a while, but we wanted to wait until the children were dead. Thank you very much. Good night. The Motion Show was hosted by me, Dr. Phil Hammond. I was joined by Tony Hawk, Simon Fanshawe, Steve Punt and Arthur Smith. The executive producer was Bill Dare, the program associate was Simon Blackwell, and the producer was Adam Bromley.